welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 128th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today, we're going to be talking about some fun topics. We're going to be talking about love and relationships. We're going to be talking about success and contentment, all tied up together with the topic of the day and with this week's petit plaisir. And I do hope you'll enjoy. Before I get to the episode's primary topic, let's talk about this week's petit plaisir. It is a new book that came out this fall that I was fortunate enough to receive a copy of. And when I finally sat down and started going through the pages, I couldn't stop. Full of inspiration from all sorts of different women in all different walks of life. And it served as a fantastic reminder that we are on our own journey, but we can gain so much support from women we may never have the opportunity to meet face to face. So stay tuned. It's a book I highly, highly recommend, and I'll talk more about it at the end of today's episode. But let's get to today's topic. Today we're talking about love, and the title of today's episode is The Myth Hindering an Amazing Love Life. The concept of soulmates is something that I want to dive into today, and to be honest with you, I really have been wanting to do an episode like this for quite some time. And this is going to sound oxymoronic, but I don't think about my love life anymore. And it has a lot to do with letting go of myths, or in this case, a belief that no longer serves me, once I dug deeper into the truth of it. And it's been liberating. It's been a breath of fresh air has been brought into my life in so many ways. And I'm going to talk about what I've learned. And no matter whether you're in a relationship or not, I think it will bring you a lot of peace, and it will strengthen the relationship you are in, and it will strengthen the relationships you will have the fortune and opportunity to be in should you choose to in the future. And when I say I haven't thought about my love life, it's not me giving up on love. It's me saying, I love my life. I have a life I love. And wow, stepping back and realizing that this worrying about what society thinks I should worry about is actually false. Because as I just said, I am in love with my life. And that is a life I want to continue to live. Whatever, whomever comes around the corner, I'm open to. But that's the way I am loving living my life now, and it has been so freeing. And much of it all began with letting go of a myth that was never serving me, but I for some reason thought it was, and perhaps a myth that was never serving you as well. So let's get started on this topic. I want to begin with a quote from best-selling author Alain de Botton, who I spoke about earlier this year when his latest book came out, The Course of Love. And he shared on his Facebook page when the book was coming out, this was back in April, he shared this. His book actually came out in June. And he shared this about the concept of romance in our culture today. He says, "We need to replace the romantic template with a psychologically mature version of love we might call classical, which encourages in us a range of unfamiliar but hopeful affective attitudes. That it is normal that love and sex may not always belong together. That discussing money early on, up front, in a serious way is not a betrayal of love. That realizing that we are rather flawed and our partner is too is of huge benefit to a couple, increasing the amount of tolerance and generosity in circulation. That we will never find everything in another person, nor they in us, not because of some unique flaw, but because of the way human nature works. That we need to make immense and often rather artificial sounding efforts to understand one another. That intuition can't get us where we need to go. that spending 2 hours discussing whether bathroom towels should be hung up or can be left on the floor is neither trivial nor unserious, that there is special dignity around laundry and timekeeping. All these attitudes and more belong to a new, more hopeful future for love. His words are certainly words for thought, and you'll find that entire quote on the show notes should you want to read through it again. But it really is this idea of shifting how we think about love and mature romantic relationships. As young children, many of us were told of a prince charming and a damsel needing rescue. Perhaps we were babysat by one too many viewings of Cinderella or The Little Mermaid or Snow White. And as we grew, the bombardment of the idea that of being incomplete, incapable, and reeking of subtle desperation until that one special person found the young woman in need of assistance, in modern movies considered Pretty Woman, Dirty Dancing, Jerry Maguire, The Proposal, The Holiday, the list could go on forever. These continued to be viewed, digested, absorbed, and unconsciously accepted as, quote, how it will all someday work out if I am to be truly happy. While indeed times and some films are trying to make a shift, think Frozen, the reality is the myth of a soulmate continues to be peddled, sold, and accepted as the one thing, if we haven't found, we need to in order to realize true contentment. The funny thing is, or should I say, the breath of fresh air that I hope to share with you today is actually that we should become our own soulmate. And what I mean by this is what I'm going to explain in a moment. Believe it or not, I am absolutely a romantic. We discussed this back at the beginning of 2015 on a previous episode of the podcast, and I'll share a link to that one on the show notes. But there are some things, as I have discussed before in a previous post, that must be de-romanticized. The soulmate myth is one of them, and it is the primary reason your love life and your life in general has been hobbled. And mine's right up there with it. Even if you think your love life is flourishing and you believe you've found your soulmate, believe it or not, this relationship that you adore and treasure can be strengthened even more by letting go of this cultural marketing myth. Earlier this year, best-selling writer Alain de Botton published The Course of Love, which was a novel. As I mentioned at the top of today's episode, I read it and reviewed it and shared my thoughts on it on a previous podcast that aired in June. I'll share a link to that on today's show notes. The gift of the novel is that it walks readers through the reality of two imperfect people, not unlike many of us who are searching and learning as we love about ourselves, about our lover, about life, etc. And as it walks through years of a relationship, it reveals more of the truths that movie producers don't want us to consider, the boring but necessary parts. For example, recognizing that love is a skill, not just an enthusiasm, as Botton points out in his novel. I often discuss the power of getting to know ourselves on this podcast and on the blog, but the dirty work of getting to know ourselves and the evidence that we have been successful in doing so is when we understand the science of how things work as well, such as hormones and in which instances they are released and what they can do to our moods and therefore our actions, or say willpower, understanding its finite nature and how to conserve it as much as possible, and emotional intelligence, being able to remove ourselves from emotions that appear seemingly instinctively and having the tools to investigate why we are feeling the way we are feeling in certain scenarios in order to move past them successfully. Often we may presume that our partner needs to fill our voids, fix our hurts, and protect us from the parts of the world that scare us. But the reality is, when we seek this solution to our woes, it's just a band-aid covering a wound that hasn't been tended to properly. Therefore, it will never heal as well as it could. How can we heal the parts of us that seem impossible to fix? We need to address them. By doing the dirty and seemingly difficult work of understanding why certain things in our lives aren't working as we would like them to. For example, having trouble financially, the solution is not to find someone who makes money, but to figure out how to manage the money that we do have and begin to master that money and learn how to earn the living that we seek or live within the means that we already have. As Lisa Martinez pointed out last year in an article for Verily, quote, invest more of your time in becoming a better version of yourself. Why? Investing time in winnowing away the aspects that are no longer serving you, coming to better understand how to handle your emotions, recognizing barriers you have in your life, and then discovering the tools to work around them, as well as learning how to effectively communicate with others, is a gift not only to anyone who you are in a relationship with or will be in the future, but it's a huge gift to yourself as well. Once you invest in yourself, you will find you enjoy your own company. You will no longer need to fill your life with appointments, responsibilities that don't support the life you wish to live, and anything just to busy yourself so that you don't have to sit quietly with yourself from time to time. You will bring yourself a peace that multiplies your comfort, contentment, and therefore your happiness. And who doesn't want to be around someone who is at peace with themselves and doesn't project or throw their pain onto others? The person you need in your life is your best self, and that self is in many ways your soulmate. But why not get rid of the word altogether? As Alain de Botton points out, quote, our strongest cultural voices have, to our huge cost, set us up with the wrong expectations. Love is a very good thing to welcome into our lives, but it has become distorted in part because of the expectation we have brought into our vocabulary with the term soulmate. And it is up to each of us to recognize the perversion of love that is portrayed in media and the culture of which we are a part of, and come to understand what a loving relationship truly is, while removing the need to label the person we would like to welcome into our lives, into the most intimate part of our lives, as our soulmate. Because the truth of the matter is, there is no truth to the existence of a soulmate. Yes, the dictionary defines it as the person ideally suited to another as a close friend or romantic partner. But do you know how words come to be placed in Webster's dictionary? Let's consider another word. Consider the word selfie, which was just added to the Oxford Dictionary in 2014 and Webster's in 2013. Words are added to the dictionary as the culture begins using it as a common colloquialism, and therefore a need arises to define it for the broad populace. The term soulmate purports to assume that we are one half of a whole, as it originated from the ancient tale of Aristophanes, involving two-headed hermaphroditic giants who were cleaved apart by a jealous Zeus, fated thereafter to forever seek their other halves. But here's the part where we need to pause, take a deep breath, and think rationally. Growth is a choice, and some of us will continue to choose to grow and learn and progress throughout our entire lives, while some will embark on some growth, and still others will be quite content to remain stagnant. Ironically, even by staying stagnant, we are changing, just not in a beneficial manner. The soulmate theory is fallacious because it presumes we are fixed entities, never changing and always remaining the same. And as well, the other half that we seek will be stagnant too, never having changed since being born. As discussed in Psychology Today, growing apart in marriages is a common reason for a union's dissolution. Humans are, just as the world is, forever changing, learning new information about themselves and the world, and choosing different ways to move forward through life. It doesn't mean that a relationship cannot endure. It just means there needs to be an awareness of this life truth that is crucial. And to return to Alain Botton's words, to understand that love is a skill. The story of a relationship when the two individuals meet, connect, and seem to speak the same language is only the first chapter. The rest of the story is a conscious choice to invest, learn, listen, communicate, to express kindness, and recognize within ourselves the truth behind what we feel when something new arises. Interestingly enough, I read last weekend in the Wall Street Journal, in their personal journal section, a study was revealed that happier relationships, romantic relationships, involve more kindness, which makes complete common sense. But the more thoughtful you are to help out each other in the simplest of ways, those relationships over the course of time were happier and healthier. So it's a choice. It's a skill. It's being aware of what your partner needs and being clear about what you need and communicating that to your partner. The term soulmate limits us. That's really what today's topic's about. It's not, you can say the word soulmate, but if you think about its origins, hopefully that'll give you pause. Why limit ourselves? Why confine ourselves and keep our feet in cement, deterring a relationship from truly flourishing? Yes, it requires that the two involved be present, attentive, and brave. But much like choosing to make the most out of our one and only life and reach our fullest potential, the path to a relationship's fullest potential is one with two people who are aware of the truth and open to learning, listening, and finding strength to do what is best for both themselves and the person they are in a relationship with. So the word soulmates, let it go and liberate yourself, whether you are in a relationship or not, seeking a relationship or not, because when you do, you open the door to, yes, more responsibility on your part. But as they say, albeit this is a saying that you maybe heard, but in reverse, when you take on the great responsibilities, you give yourself so much more power in living a life that will bring you true contentment. I'll provide a link to all of the previous episodes that I mentioned, the book and the articles that I've mentioned as well, so you can kind of go back and pore over them if this is a topic that interests you. I hope you've enjoyed it. Today's show notes can be found on the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast128. And just a note to let you know, if you were just simply going to the home page of the blog, maybe it's on Monday morning and you're used to seeing that particular post at the very top. With the new layout, remember the podcast episodes and therefore the show notes are always going to be in that box right below the most recent post. So it will never be the most recent post. It'll always just stay right there in the Simply Luxurious Life box. And that's just below the large image at the top below the header. And it'll say current episode. And then that link will take you to the show notes. Every single Monday, that will be replaced with the newest episode. And then you can go to the podcast page and look at all the episodes in reverse chronological order. So the most recent will be at the top and so on and so forth. I love how they've designed the podcast page. It makes it so much easier to find what you're looking for and click through and listen right there on the blog or on your mobile device. So anyway, the show notes, if you want to go directly to that page though with today's show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast128. And speaking of true contentment, today's Petit Plaisir talks about success and how to find that moment of knowing you have reached the goal that you've set out. We're going to talk about the book that does all of this and so much more in just a few moments. Stay tuned. I'll see you in just a few. Welcome back. I am so excited to share with you the book that is today's Petit Plaisir. The book is titled In the Company of Women, Inspiration and Advice from Over 100 Makers, Artists, and Entrepreneurs. And it's by Grace Bonney. It's her second book. She is the founder, you probably recognize her name, the founder of the decor blog Design Sponge that you can still visit. And it came out in early October of this year. And I'm holding the copy of my book in my hands right here. There's so much I want to share with you. This is a great resource and book of inspiration for you or coming up with a holiday, someone you know who is traveling down maybe a different path than what the masses are traveling. And you want to give her or him a boost to say, hey, look at all these women. Look at what they're doing. They're doing it their own way and it's working. But it wasn't always a simple path, but it was something they believed in. Grace has interviewed, as it says, 100 women, but all these women are from all sorts of different backgrounds and have pursued so many different careers. As she says, some are artists, some are actors, some are museum curators, some are writers. The gamut is vast. And what I found, I was sitting down one night a couple weeks ago, and I just needed a book to relax and read. And normally that's a book of fiction, but this one really was exactly what I wanted to read and needed to read. It wasn't deep and dark and heavy. It is short and sweet, with everyone gets about the same questions. There's about 7 to 12 questions each person gets. And then you get about 3 or 4 pages. You have a picture of each of them, and then you have the list of questions and how they've responded. And so the questions have been edited and are simple and are easy to read. You don't have to read on and on and on for their explanations. But the same questions are given to each woman. So, and what's interesting about that is that you get to see how many different answers there are to the one simple question. So, for example, one of her questions that I love is, what would you tell yourself 10 to 20 years ago that you wish you knew then? And the response that I particularly liked, and I started and dog-eared it and all that fun stuff, is Thelma Golden, who is a museum director and the chief curator in New York City. And she shares to that question that what seemed like urgent and immediate obstacles will recede greatly with time. Another answer that she gave to the question, what is your personal or professional motto? And I love this one from Arthur Ashe. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Another sample of a question, what is your no-fail go-to when you need inspiration or to get out of a creative rut? Amanda Cruz, who is also a museum director from Phoenix, states, travel. Even if it's just down the block or farther, always go farther. Change your environment. Take a trip. Go see what other people are doing. I love that one. Could not agree more. Could not agree more. Let me share a few more of my favorites. She interviewed Janet Mock, who is an author, a television host in New York City. And she answers the question, has learning from a mistake ever led you to success? And the answers to that question are fantastic throughout the entire book. But here's what Janet Mock shares. A mistake I made at the beginning of my public writing and career was being a bit too open and transparent. I learned that I needed to create boundaries, clear and exacting, that I would not cross until I truly was ready to share things publicly. It was an early mistake that required me to realize that not all of me was up for public consumption. And I'll end with one more from Janet Mock, but it ties up what this book is about and what I loved about each one of these women that she interviewed. The question was, what characteristic do you most admire in other creative women? She answers, the audacity to do something different and embody their own difference. We are trained to fit in, assimilate, and blend in. So I'm always enamored by women who overcome that training and just stick out. Wise words. Wise words. The book is lovely. It will cause your cup of inspiration to be overrunneth with ideas and reminders to continue to pursue what you love and what you're passionate about and to believe in yourself and to know that there will be obstacles and you will feel like you may have to give some things up. But the beauty of what you do when you start chasing your dreams is that you recognize that some of the things you have to let go of weren't of that great importance to you anyway. And you will, when you come alive doing what you love, that is an amazing gift you give yourself and therefore then to others, as is proved by this book. So I'll provide a link to Grace Bonney's new book, In the Company of Women. And I also encourage you to listen to her interview. She was on Grand Story's podcast, pardon my French, a few weeks ago, and I had the chance to listen to it. It's about an hour and a half interview. So sit back on a long walk and just listen. But they talk about business and her progress through the blogging world and also being an author and how her career has continually shifted and grown and evolved. And it's a fantastic insight into her approach to this book, how she pulled it together and why she chose this topic. And I think at least I came away even more impressed with who she was. I already was inspired by her. I've been following her for a long time, but this gave even more insight into what she truly believes in and is passionate about when it comes to this creative venture that she is on. So find the show notes, the simplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast128, the link to the interview. You'll find it all there. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe. Anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, the Simply Luxurious Life. www.thesimplyluxuriouslife.com or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. To stay caught up on the most recent podcasts, blog posts, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or your morning coffee, just in time to jumpstart the weekend. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bon journée!
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.